to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz. We hear he is a wizard of whiz, if ever a whiz there was. If ever, oh, ever a whiz there was, the Wizard of Oz is one because.
Well, next week, the city of Oconomowoc is definitely going to be off to see the wizard. They're going to be celebrating the 85th anniversary of the release of The Wizard of Oz in movie theaters. Now, some sources say that the world premiere of the film was at the Strand Theater in Oconomowoc back in August of 1939, but there are other records that maybe it's not quite right. So we're going to take we're going to question someone who knows. I'm Jill Nadeau. This is the Larry Mueller Show, and that person is Justin Agar Pratt. He's the director of the Oconomowoc Area Historical Society and Museum, and he's looking through the records, and he knows what the city has planned to celebrate its connection to the Land of Oz. What do you remember about the first time you saw The Wizard of Oz? And who scared you more, the Wicked Witch of the West or the Flying Monkeys? We'd like to hear from you, so give us a call, 800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Justin, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Jill. It's great to be here.
You bet. So next week in Oconomowoc, big celebration because of the release of the film. So let's straighten us out about these first screenings here.
Well, as a historian, I find myself in positions like this a lot, where you're really trying to dig and find out what actually happened. It's, you know, it's not like chemistry. We can't recreate it in a lab. So ever since I took on the job as director at the Historical Society in Oconomowoc back in March, my 90% of my time has been filled with Oz-related artifacts and memorabilia and artwork and events and the history, and trying to dive in and learn the history. So it's interesting because the world preview premiere of the film was supposed to take place on August 9th in 1939 at the Carthay Circle Theater, which is where Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs had its premiere a few years ago. And that film actually kind of made MGM feel like they could make a big musical like The Wizard of Oz, a musical fantasy. But that preview premiere was pushed off, according to sources at the LA Times and Variety in August of that year. So there were actually a couple of screenings in Wisconsin, as well as Cape Cod, interestingly enough. Oconomowoc's at the Strand Theater started August 12th. Now, there were showings in Green Bay, Kenosha, Appleton before that. But I will say that it was billed in Oconomowoc as the world premiere showing. And we've got a copy of that advertisement hanging in our museum in Oconomowoc. Now, I don't know if that was the Strand, if that was MGM or the newspaper, but it was a brilliant piece of marketing because, you know, even though there were other showings before Oconomowoc's, Oconomowoc can claim the world premiere showing.
I love that.
The connection between Oconomowoc and The Wizard of Oz is even stronger because the film's composer, the composer of the score, not the songwriter, Herbert Stothart, was actually born in Milwaukee, went to UW-Madison, spent a lot of time in Okochee. His mother built two cottages in Okochee. And so it's highly likely, you know, people ask, why Oconomowoc? Why did they choose Oconomowoc? We don't have any documentation from MGM that states because of this, but it's highly likely that's why.
Mm-hmm. And why did MGM want to go to the Heartland to have this preview premiere?
Well, they wanted to see kind of what Middle America, how they would react to this film. You know, the movie didn't have its Hollywood premiere until August 15th at Grauman's Chinese Theater. And then it opened in New York on August 17th for its East Coast premiere. And I believe Judy Garland and Mickey Rooney were actually on a circuit of the East Coast, you know, helping promote it. So they wanted to get the feel again, of what the reviews would be and the sentiments of Middle America.
And I think I've read a lot about The Wizard of Oz, too. We've had a couple of books on the show. What do you think it is about this movie that we just can't get out of our culture?
Well, I think we have to thank the television for that part. You know, it's a great film, and audiences, you know, reacted positively to it when it came out. It was by no means a flop. MGM didn't really start making money on it until much later. And part of what has ingrained that film into our culture, and I mean, you know, when for just about anyone, right, if you hear the name Dorothy, and for those of you out there named Dorothy who maybe don't want to be associated with the film, I'm sorry, but Dorothy, Toto, even Kansas, unless you're from Kansas, right, all these things. And it wasn't until, you know, the 1950s when CBS and NBC kind of traded off for a while, showing it every year on television. And that's really kind of when it took off in being kind of ingrained in our culture and being this mammoth success. And then, of course, with the advent of home video and then DVD and re-releases and anniversaries. So, but I mean, all of that aside, the music's great. The story's fun. I saw it on a big screen last year. I took my mom to a Mother's Day brunch showing. And that was actually my first time seeing it on the big screen. And it is a gorgeous film. It really is.
And it's amazing because I happened to see it in Watertown a few years ago. And I was like, what the heck? I miss this, all these background things that are going on. There's some live birds in the background during the apple orchard scene. And I thought I was seeing things at first. So it really does pay to see it on the big screen, doesn't it?
For sure.
Yeah. Now, there's another Wisconsin connection to The Wizard of Oz and really the Johnson Creek area, Watertown, the resident, Minor Robbie. He played the coroner. If we remember him, in fact, if you don't remember him, we've got a clip.
As coroner, I must have her. I thoroughly examined her, and she's not only merely dead, she's really most sincerely dead.
And I'm really sorry that's going to be stuck in your head all day. Maybe, maybe not. And also, I was always wondered, as coroner, I must aver. That's the word, in case anyone was wondering what it was, because I had no clue. So anyway, tell us about Meinhard Robbie.
Yeah, well, he was from Farmington, and his family used... they lived in Johnson Creek, you know, spent a lot of time there, used Watertown as kind of their postal address. Meinhard Robbie went to school in Watertown for a time at what is now Luther Prep, but what was then known as Northwestern College. Went to UW-Madison, I believe. He was in the military. He was the first little Oscar, driving around the country with the Wienermobile. And then, of course, played the Munchkin Coroner in The Wizard of Oz. And there's a great book that he wrote that came out not long before he passed away that is all about his life. I played the Munchkin Coroner as a freshman in high school. And through some, I don't know how these connections were made, I got to meet his sister, who was still living in Watertown at the time. And she was just got to talk to her about their life growing up, about Meinhard. He was still alive at the time. And a few weeks after I met her, I got some packages in the mail, and it was his book signed by Meinhard. There was a Wizard of Oz promotional poster signed by him as well. So, I got a personal connection to the film through that. I never actually got to meet him, but I got about as close as you could get.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And actually, Meinhard didn't pass away all that long ago, 2010. I believe he was the last, surviving cast member with dialogue.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. He was 94. So that's pretty cool. So we definitely want to hear about what's going to be going on in Oconomowoc, but we're going to take a little break here. We're talking about the beloved movie, The Wizard of Oz, with Justin Agar Pratt. He's the director of the Oconomowoc Area Historical Society and Museum. What do you love about the film? We'd really like you to take part in this conversation. So give us a call, 800-642-1234, or you can send an email. That's talk@wpr.org. Tomorrow on the Larry Mueller Show, we'll join in on Olympic fever, but in a slightly different way. First, we're talking about Special Olympics Wisconsin and how they're making sports more inclusive. And then we hear from a wheelchair basketball head coach who's headed to the Olympics. Finally, we'll have a roundup of success stories from the 2024 Olympic Games so far. So that's tomorrow on the Larry Mueller Show, starting at 11. And right now, we are talking about the Wizard of Oz and this great celebration that's going to be happening in Oconomowoc. What's the date on that, Justin?
So that's Thursday, August 15th. So coming right up.
Mm-hmm. And Oconomowoc, for those who are not familiar, is basically what, west of Milwaukee, about 30 minutes, approximately?
A little bit. Yeah.
So, okay. So what do you guys have planned?
Oh, well, there's a lot. Well, so back in 2019, Oconomowoc opened up the Oz Plaza. So if you've been through Oconomowoc since then, you've probably seen they've got statues of characters from The Wizard of Oz. You know, Oconomowoc, they're very invested in this historic connection that they've got with Wizard of Oz. And the statues have been, I guess you could say they had some time at the spa over the last year or so, and they've been refurbished and refreshed, and we at the museum have been fortunate enough to actually have each of those statues except for the wizard pass through our museum before they, you know, they've been kind of slowly rolling out at Oz Plaza, and we still have at our museum, and I think maybe she's leaving tomorrow, Dorothy and Toto, but we've got two new statues that were not at the original Oz Plaza. We've got Glinda and Meinhard Robbie's Coroner.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those two are going to be unveiled the night of the event on Thursday, August 15th, but they're at the museum. And so you can see them. These statues are made to be outside in all of the elements, but you can see them inside in the air conditioning during our normal hours. So there's the Oz Plaza kind of revamp that's going to have its completion on August 15th.
Mm-hmm.
And then the activities for the event start at 4:00 that afternoon. Now, Wisconsin Avenue, which is kind of the main drag there, will open for chair setup at 1:00. And people might be wondering, what do I need chairs for? Is there going to be a parade? Well, the big feature of the event is at dusk, they're going to show The Wizard of Oz on a huge screen projecting down Wisconsin Avenue. And it's part of their Moonlit Movies program, which, if you haven't been to that event, is really fabulous. But between the time the activities begin and the feature presentation, they're going to have that Oz Plaza ribbon cutting. There's a costume contest. There's all sorts of activities. They've got hot air balloon rides. There's going to be some live music, characters, food vendors, all sorts of things. So it's going to be a really wonderful event. And these anniversary screenings are great. You know, they do them every 5 years. So it definitely doesn't wear out its welcome. I think there's definitely an appetite for it whenever it comes around. And it's going to be a great time.
Definitely. They do it every 5 years. And you're right. It just makes it more special. We've got a couple callers. So let's talk to Pat in Sturgeon Bay. Go ahead, Pat.
Hi. I called because I wanted to share a memory of seeing The Wizard of Oz on television. I was born in 1952, so it fits right in what the speaker has been saying about when they put it on television. And it was such a big deal. This was, of course, way before cable. And we all got, made popcorn and got ready to watch. The Wizard of Oz on television, and it was in black and white at that time. We didn't have color TV quite for another 10 years. But anyway, I remember I was about 5 years old or so, and we were watching this movie, and when that witch came on, I was totally traumatized. And hid, I was sitting by my mother, and I hid my face in her lap and would not look at that witch. And I, it was so frightening. But she let me finish watching the movie because I guess they weren't into trauma back in those days. So I watched the movie, and then we watched it for years. I think it came on, I want to say it was either like Thanksgiving or Easter time. Every year it would come on, and I got over the trauma eventually, although it has stuck with me all these years because I just so remember being so frightened. But I've loved The Wizard of Oz, and I've loved the follow-up later, the Wicked play. It's the only Broadway type musical I've seen twice, because I love that part so much too. So lots of good if traumatic memories of Wizard of Oz on TV.
Well, I think you managed to put that behind you a little bit, Pat. So thanks for sharing that with us. I remember too, the first time I saw The Wizard of Oz, the first few times we only had black and white TV. So the whole, you know, coming to Oz and all the beautiful color, I think that just shocked me when I saw it the first time in actual color, because it made such a difference. So it's a kind of a great concept too. I think it was one of the first movies that ever did that, went from black and white, which is actually more of a sepia, and then to the color. Pretty neat effect. Greg and Racine, what do you have for us?
Hi there, first I want to say hi to Justin from one of your old props at Carthage.
Oh, hey there.
Which is me. Nice to hear you. I'm enjoying this conversation very much, although I didn't hear the very beginning of it. But sounds like a wonderful celebration about one of the greatest films ever made. This film means a lot to my family because I was the Tin Man when I was in grade school, and my brother a few years later was the Scarecrow in a very different production someplace else. And, but I always loved this film so much. And early to Robbie, the coroner, one of my jobs outside of teaching at Carthage, where I taught Justin many years ago, is at a radio station that's on this network. And I got to interview Mr. Robbie about his book, which I think is called Memories of a Munchkin, if I'm not mistaken. That's off the top of my head. And
that's correct.
One of the things I remember about that conversation is he was fairly elderly man by that point and a little bit hard of hearing. And right off the bat, as the first couple of questions and the answers were a little halting, I thought, oh, I wonder how this is going to go. And before long, he'd kind of caught his second wind, and he was telling story after story. And of course, he's had a very interesting life, even apart from the film. So for people who are curious to know more about him, I'm sure that book one way or another is still available, and I really highly recommend it.
Well, thank you, Greg. We appreciate that comment. And just so you guys know, it wasn't that long ago that Justin was in college.
Right.
He made you sound pretty old there. And he's not. So let's get back to some of the stuff that's going on. Now, you're talking about the Oz Plaza. Now, I had read somewhere that you not only are adding to the statues that you have there, but you're doing some other stuff, too. Can you tell us what's going on there? Or are you sworn to secrecy?
Well, I think if I know what you're talking about, there are going to be a number of Toto statues popping up around the city. Is that what you're referring to?
I don't know, because we haven't. I don't know. It sounded all secret when I read it, so I'm not sure.
Well, as far as I know, this is public knowledge. I just saw it in the Enterprise the other day. So
okay.
Yeah. There are a number of Toto statues that are going to be popping up all throughout the city, kind of like the Badgers in Madison,
sure.
Where, you know, they're all painted with different themes to invoke either the business or the organization or something like that has them. And the museum is going to have a Toto as well. And we're still working on getting the artwork finalized. But, those Toto statues are going to be popping up all over Oconomowoc. So it's going to be really fun. I don't know how many there are, about a dozen or so,
Great.
I think.
That'll be fun for sure. Mm-hmm. And let's talk about the museum. Where is it located in Watertown, or in Oconomowoc? And what kind of exhibits do you have going on?
Yeah, so we're located at 103 West Jefferson Street. If anyone knows Roosevelt Park, we're on the corner. Our museum is in the 1921 National Guard Armory Building. The National Guard is no longer there. They moved out in the mid-80s. But it's a great Spanish colonial style building. If you've been past it, but you didn't know it was a museum, you're not alone. But think of the building with the elk in front of it, the elk statue, which used to stand on one of the vast estates on one of the lakes in Oconomowoc. You know, we have kind of our highlight exhibits. I mean, right now we've got Oz for the next few weeks. So if you want to see Oz memorabilia, stop in. Our two main exhibits are the Streets of Old Oconomowoc, much like the Streets of Old Milwaukee, only focused on Oconomowoc. And then we've got a really large HO gauge model railroad layout that was started by a former custodian of the Oconomowoc High School, who has since passed away. He left his layout to us. The thing that I love, though, is it's not just a really spectacular and detailed layout. There's a group that a dedicated group. In fact, they're probably there right now. They go in on Mondays when we're closed and maintain it and clean it. And they run this thing. They have operating days where they, you know, kind of pretend it's a real railroad, and they have schedules and all of that. And there's a youth group that's attached to it too, that comes in monthly. So you've got kids actually learning about the hobby. And so it's an active learning center, which I love. And, you know, we're kind of on the cusp right now as an organization of making some changes and revamps. But I can tell you the Streets of Old Oconomowoc are not going anywhere. I love that. It's a great area. So the museum is open Tuesday through Thursday from 1 to 4 and then Sundays from 1 to 4 as well. So definitely stop in and see what we've got.
So what is Oconomowoc's claim to fame? I mean, is the lake?
There's a lot of things. You know, there's the lakes, obviously, you know, the Wizard of Oz. A lot of, you know, I've been learning about Oconomowoc history myself since I started in March. You know, they hired me for my museum expertise, not necessarily. I didn't have to take a test on Oconomowoc history.
You didn't?
Yeah. But, you know, I've been learning a lot from our volunteers who have been there for a long time. A lot of companies that I didn't know, you know, made their way through there. Carnation was a big one. Obviously, you know, Brownberry Ovens is a big company. It's a great city with lots of history that, again, I'm still learning about. Mm-hmm. A lot of, you know, names of families that people might recognize, or maybe they don't recognize the family name, but they recognize the industries or the businesses they were involved in, you know, had homes around the lakes and helped make Oconomowoc what it is.
And wasn't there a train that came out from Milwaukee and a lot of summer people that built really beautiful homes in Oconomowoc?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, when you learn the history of a lot of those historic mansions, you find out a lot of them, you know, lived elsewhere, a lot of them in Chicago, some St. Louis. And yeah, they'd come up for the summers and, you know, enjoy their time there. And of course, we've got the old train depot, which is not a train depot anymore, but is a great restaurant down there as well. And that depot, as well as other actual buildings, are represented on that model railroad layout that I mentioned. And that's the Milwaukee Road. So they've got all stops all along there represented on the layout.
Well, that's fun. Now we've got a few minutes left, but it's really difficult for small museums these days to stay alive. Is that something that they've found? I mean, I know you've only been there since March, but is that true in the case of the Oconomowoc Museum also?
Yeah, I mean, fortunately, we've got a fairly healthy endowment, but we need to feed that, as all small nonprofits do. And so we're just, you know, we're looking at ways of first letting people know that we're here. And that's not unique to Oconomowoc. That's, you know, any small museum I've spent time in, whether employed or you know, interned, you know, people always say, we had no idea you were here.
Yeah.
So just letting people know we're there. Membership support is crucial, and I'm working on increasing the member value. And then fundraising. We've got a big fundraiser gala coming up Thursday, September 26th. It's called the Supper Club Experience. It's going to be at Wisconsin's oldest restaurant, the Red Circle Inn. It's going to be a great time. And we've got an author named Ron Fiola, who a lot of your listeners are probably familiar with, Supper Club guru, and he'll be there. So again, our biggest fundraiser of the year, Thursday, September 26th. You can check out our website and Facebook page for all the information.
Wonderful. So. Well, thank you very much, Justin. We really appreciate you stopping by, and have fun at the Wizard of Oz on August 15th?
15th.
Yep,
Thursday,
okay.
August 15th.
Wonderful.
Festivities start at 4.
Okay. Thank you so much. And thank you for joining us today on The Larry Mueller Show. This and all our other shows, of course, are a team effort. So we're running out of time, but thank you all for our help. I'm Jill Nadeau in for Larry Mueller today.